I think all of us at different times in our lives have been guilty of, or are guilty of, having a different perception than what corresponds with reality. Some of these self-perceptions are relatively harmless. Others, however, can be detrimental to our health. And in many cases, of course, this becomes a serious problem health-wise. So it's important for us that we try to see ourselves as we really are. But the real question is, what if we have the wrong perception spiritually? When we look in the mirror spiritually, what do we see? Do we see what we want to see? Or what do we do when we walk away from that spiritual mirror? I'd like for us, in the brief time we have together this morning, to look into the scriptures and study this subject in light of what God has to say about it. And what I want us to ask ourselves is the question, what about the face in the mirror? James addresses this situation in James chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. And I want to read this in your hearing as we introduce our study today. James 1, verses 23 through 25. I'm reading from the New King James Version. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now, I want you to notice this with me here. I want you to notice the importance of being not just hearers, but doers. Notice in James 1:22, he tells us that one who is not a doer of the word deceives himself. What does he mean by that? Well, he looks in there and he sees how he really is, and he realizes what needs to be done, but he deceives himself into thinking he doesn't have to do it. He turns and walks away and continues just like he always did, without any change whatsoever. But we understand that what James is teaching us here is the importance of not being deceived, but rather taking action in accordance with what we see in the mirror. You know, this idea of being deceived is not something that is peculiar just to this one passage. We could cite many of them, but since we're talking here about the book of James, I want to just jump back to the book of John here for a minute. That is 1 John. And notice that John indicates that those who deceive themselves will not be saved. Look at that. In 1 John 1 and verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. What is he saying? If you deceive yourself into thinking you have no sin, you don't have the truth. That's it. You don't have it. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by him. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4, while we're over here in this book, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. What's the problem? He's deceived himself into thinking that he can know God and not keep his commandments. What's the problem? He is a hearer and not a doer. And he says such a person is a liar and the truth is not in him. And before we move on, 1 John 4 and verse 20. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? You see how John steps into this category we're talking about here of hearers and not doers. They make a claim to this, but they don't follow through. They're not doers. We understand that that results, of course, in being displeasing in the sight of God. But let's go back to our context here and talk about the comparison that we find here in James chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. The comparison is between the one who hears and does not. And he of course talks about the person looking at himself in the mirror, and then he goes away and forgets immediately what he looks like. And you know, many times people don't like what they see in the mirror. They look at it and say, oh, if this is as good as it gets, it ain't that great. You know, and they're unhappy. They're just unhappy, but they didn't do anything about it. They don't change anything. They just stay the way they are. But you know, what we understand is that most times when you look in the mirror, you realize that it is easier for you to have a different mental picture of yourself than it is to face reality. Isn't that the truth? You look in the mirror and you say, well, it doesn't look that bad. And of course, you haven't got your glasses on. You know? Well, it doesn't look that bad. Look pretty good for an old fella, you know. Well, we're not really facing reality, are we? We have the wrong picture of ourselves. We're not really looking to find out how we really look. And of course, that's what James is talking about here. The comparison then is between the hearer who does not do and the person who forgets what he looks like, walks away and doesn't do anything about it. But now, notice there's also a contrast here. In James 1 and verse 25, the contrast is the one who looks into the perfect law or the law of liberty and perseveres. Such a one is the one who does not just hear but also acts. They look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and they don't just hear it, but they do something about it. And what does he say? They will be blessed in their doing. They will be blessed in what they do. Well, of course they will, because they are acting upon what they see when they look in the mirror. Now, some would say, well, now, you know, this is, what exactly is he driving at here? What's James driving at? Well, the contrast between mere hearers and those who hear and do is what it's all about. All such people hear the message of God. That is, these are all hearers he's talking about now. All hearers. They hear the message of God. And what does it do? It exposes them for what they really are. It exposes them for what they really are. And you know, when we look into the perfect law of liberty, if we're honest with ourselves, we'll find out that we see a disfigured sinner in some way, some shape, or some form. But for many, that is those who just hear, it's too horrifying and too terrible for them to accept. They see it, but they don't want to see it. And so what do? Well, it's easier for them to rationalize themselves and hold to a different picture of themselves in their mind. They don't want to see that which is presented in the Scriptures, the mirror of God. And what are they doing? Well, such people deceive themselves and are led into condemnation as a result of it. And that certainly is not to be desired. But for others, however, like they see the same image and the image is unpleasant. They don't want to see that old sinner in there in the mirror. But they realize that it exists and deny its reality, and what do? Well, they're not going to change it. They don't want to change it because I can't go through that. And they realize that it is imperative that they have to work to remove that disfiguration. They don't like the looks of that. But there are those who hear and do and persevere and are blessed in their doing. because they see what needs to be done and they get it done. They take care of it. Now, with all of that in mind, let's bring it home. Are we looking in the mirror? You know, you can have mirrors all over your house, but they don't do you a lot of good if you never look in them. They don't do you a lot of good, do they? You never know whether you got a hair out of place or whether you forgot to put on your makeup properly or comb your hair or whatever. You don't know because you don't have a mirror. You just go out headlong. So you got to look, don't you? And the question is, are we looking in the mirror? In considering this passage of our context this morning and its application, we need to ask ourselves whether we're doing this. Or maybe I should put it this way. Are we listening to the word and those who preach it? Because that's the perfect law, the law of liberty. Are we looking into the mirror? Paul wrote to the brethren at Rome in Romans chapter 10, beginning verse 13, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." But notice what he says next. "But they have not all obeyed the gospel." Notice, the mirror is there. But he says, they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed our report?" So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's where the mirror is, looking into the mirror, hearing the word of God. But, Paul says, have they not heard? In other words, the word's there, the mirror's there. It's like in your house, those mirrors are all around. The word is there, haven't they heard? And he says, yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? For Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation, and I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah very boldly said, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Now look at this. It wasn't a problem with there not being a mirror. It was not a problem with them not having the word. What was the problem? They refused to do anything about it. They refused to do anything about it. I remember hearing a preacher one time saying, he said, Israel went so far, not only just to not look in the mirror, but they went around and broke them all. And that's kind of what they did. They didn't want to see it. They didn't want to see it. In 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, John says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now by this we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. But we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. And by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." What's the problem? Some people don't want to hear it. They don't want to look in the mirror. Afraid of what they'll see. And you know, I have observed this so many times in my life of people who I have had opportunity to talk to, some I've worked with, some I've had neighbors and so forth, but to talk to them about the Bible, some of them just like this when you try to do that. And you know what I think I've observed about those people? They're afraid of what they might find in there. They're afraid of what they might find. They're afraid they're going to find out that they're accountable to God, that they're going to have to meet Him someday and give an account of themselves, and they don't want to hear it. They don't even think about it. And they think that if they don't read it, they don't hear it, that it'll go away. But it doesn't. Any more than ignoring the mirrors, even breaking or throwing them out or covering them up, that doesn't change the fact of what's there. It's still there. But for some, not listening may be easier for them. It takes the pressure off. Now, I don't want to be told I'm wrong. I don't want to be told that I'm going to hell. I don't want to hear that. I observed that in some show the other day. I was thinking about that when I was doing this lesson. Somebody told another actor on the show, says, if you do that, you're going to go to hell. Well, don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that. Well, you're going to. Simple as that. Well, that's pretty straightforward. But that's the truth. Whether you want to hear it or not, it's the truth. Kind of makes you understand that the real problem is they don't want to face the consequences. They don't want to hear about it. This is the reason why Jesus says so many times, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Why? I want you to look into the mirror. I want you to see it for yourself. This is the reason why we read in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. He said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed. That's the condition of Israel in a nutshell. We see this also reflected over in Matthew 13, verses 14 and 15. Jesus said, in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive, for the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them. Excellent choice of songs this morning, by the way. Open my eyes that I may see. Perfect choice. Many, unfortunately today, though, have their hearts dulled. Their eyes are blinded for any number of different reasons. And such people, just like Israel of old, can never be found pleasing in the sight of God. So, what do we learn from this then? Well, it's important for us to look into the mirror, that is, look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, no matter how difficult it may be. That's important, isn't it? No matter how difficult it may be. Now, are we willing to see what is in the mirror? Are we truly willing to see what we look like in the mirror of God's Word? This is important. if we're going to be pleasing in the sight of God. How do we do this? Well, we do it by studying God's Word. By studying God's Word. There's so many different ways we can do that. One of the ways that we have arranged for us to follow as a congregation is by our daily Bible readings. By reading God's Word every day, opening our eyes and seeing how God has dealt with men of old, what God expected of these people, it helps us to understand our God even better. And to know what kind of God that we have to answer to someday. But more than this, it gives us insight into the plan that God instituted before time began and has fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It helps us to see the full perspective of this. And it becomes part of our life. We talk about it. We think about it. I don't know about you, but I can't wait to read the next chapter. Because I want to know what's going to happen there. See? And that's how it should be. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness means you look in the mirror frequently. Just as frequently as you pull your chair up to the table to eat food. See? Hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Looking into the mirror. But you know, when you look into the mirror, you have to be willing, when you do this, to test yourself. To test yourself. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and down at verse 5, the New King James Version says, examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Christ Jesus is in you, unless indeed you're disqualified? Now, this graphic that I found up here doesn't have the New King James Version, but here it says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves instead of test. Prove means the same thing. Know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to put ourselves to the test? When we read what God expects of us to live holy and righteous and godly in this present age, how do we measure up? How do we measure up? Now, don't turn your head away from the mirror and try to pretend you didn't see that. You keep looking at that and put yourself in there and see how you measure up. And dear one, if you don't measure up, what are you going to do about it? You're going to be a hearer who does, or a forgetful hearer who sees what needs to be done and then just turns and walks away and doesn't do anything about it? This is an important question for you to think about. What, seriously, do you think you look like whenever you look into the perfect law of liberty or God's mirror? What do you think you look like? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if you haven't looked lately, it might not be a pretty picture. If nothing else than the fact you haven't looked lately. Most of you, I'm sure, make it a regular practice to look in the mirror at least once every day. And some, quite a few more times than that day. But looking into God's perfect law, the law of liberty, what will you see? Will it expose sin in your life for what it is? Will it tell you in no uncertain terms what you need to do about it? Absolutely it will. But remember when I talked about being willing to look? Knowing all of these things, Are you still willing to look? Or are you afraid? Think about that. If we will look and we're willing to look, what are we going to do about it? And you know, really, that's probably the biggest question of them all. What are you going to do about it? If you look in there and you see something that's not as it should be, what are you going to do about it? When we see our true condition in the light of God's Word, how are we going to respond to that? Will we decide that the picture we see is just too horrible and walk away and try to imagine ourselves to be better than we really are? That's what those who are hearers and not doers do. In fact, sometimes they see themselves for what they really are. And they say, well, that's no worse than so-and-so, so I'm okay. And they just walk away. Well, so what? So what? What does that prove? It just proves that so-and-so needs to look in the mirror. Don't they? And they need to do something about it. That's all that proves. It doesn't justify us. What happens is we deceive ourselves. We become self-deluded. And you know, self-deluded people have no place in heaven. No place in heaven because they're not doing what God has established as being right. Perhaps we'll decide that even if the picture is quite ugly that we see, that the picture what we see is real. And that picture is real and it's sobering. This is what I really look like in the eyes of God. And I'm ashamed of it. I'm ashamed of it. To God, this has got to be one of the ugliest things that He ever has looked upon. Because look at the mess that I'm in. And I need to do something about this. And thanks be to God, I can. It doesn't do any good for me to deny spiritual reality, does it? Any more than it does physically to deny reality. It doesn't do me a bit of good. We need to be prepared when we look in the mirror of God's Word to see ourselves as we are and to do whatever's necessary to change it. Whether it means going backwards or going forwards, whatever it means to get out of something or to get into something, that is, things we've left undone or things we've done we shouldn't have done, we need to get it straightened out. Get rid of the sin that's in our lives. And dear ones, let me tell you something. It's not always easy. So I'm going to tell you that right up front. It's not always easy. Oh yeah, there's some things that are relatively easy for us to rid ourselves of. No question about it. But there are things that have taken their place in our lives that are going to take a lot of effort to get rid of. But that's no reason to give up. What we need to do is look back into that mirror more frequently and see how we're progressing. And to be more determined each time that we're going to get rid of these things. Get them out, get them out, get them out. And make that picture what God would have it to be. Because in the end, that's the only thing that's going to matter. So, the beloved James leaves us with a time of consideration. Consider ourselves today, not tomorrow, but today. To be willing to look into the mirror and hear God and be willing to see what's there and to accept who we are and move on to be what God wants us to be. That's it in a nutshell. To be what God wants us to be. What do you see when you look in the mirror? Let us be doers of the word and not hearers only. And dear one, if you're here this morning and you have looked into God's mirror, and what you find there is not what you want to see. What you find there is somebody who's not in accordance with what God expects of us. Then why not do something about it? Don't be a forgetful hearer, but be a doer. Believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the true and living God. And allow that faith to take its place in your heart and to change your heart, change your will, change your mind. That's what repentance is. And once that's taken place, to confess before men what you believe now, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then be buried with him in the waters of baptism, in full assurance that in so doing you'll receive what he has promised you. And that is the remission of your sins. Every one of those things in that mirror that you see wiped away. Clean mirror. And anything that gets on you from that point forward, you need to catch it when it shows up in that mirror and get rid of it. Would you do that today if you haven't already done it? And dear one, brother, sister in Christ, if you look into the mirror of God's word and you don't see what you know you should see, how soon are you going to do something about it? You're going to wait until it's too late? I hope not. I hope that if you see something there that needs to be taken care of, you'll do it right now. That you'll repent, confess your sin to God, and ask for his forgiveness. And because we're brothers and sisters in Christ who love and care for each other, we stand ready to pray with you and for you, if that be your desire. Whatever your obligation to God might be, we invite you and implore you to come while we stand and while we sing together.